Listen on Demand, brought to you by 680 News.
I shouldn't say I keep saying this. There are certain artists that I say this about, and I will say this to you too. Last person I ever think I'd ever get a chance to speak with. So thank you so much for your time to do this interview. I am so thrilled. You have
no idea. Thank you.
No idea. Now, I know you, where are you right now, if you don't mind me asking?
In Tennessee.
Tennessee. Wow, that's a long way. I guess you're traveling around from what, show to show?
Yeah. Right now, I mean, I haven't been working a great deal. I've been working on the book, so I'm just in the throes of beginning to put together shows for the rest of the year and New Year's, you know, the new year. But I'm really going on a promotional tour, I guess, in end of September, October. And so that's what I'll be doing. I mean, promoting my book and record.
And what's the book going to be about?
Well, it's based on my life story. And it's sort of the part of my life that no one ever knows about or talks about, because they sort of pick up the American aspect of what went on, you know, all those years ago. And this is everything, but it's kind of an overview of before I left, you know, what I did while I was there and what I did when I came back.
I guess this is something that's really important, because we've seen, you know, like Behind the Music do a feature on you. And, you know, every once in a while, of course, we do see the documentaries on your life. Is it important for you to put that book out to, I guess, maybe set the facts straight?
Well, I mean, I don't think it's as much a fact-setting straight thing for me as it is. I think that more I think I more feel like I'm a mentor. And I think that my life is more like a book, and that there are so many people who are trying to make it out there in the world, and I think that when you're working hard to make it, and you sometimes people fall down or they make a mistake and they think they can't go on beyond that and they give up on themselves, and I hope that my mistakes and failures and shortcomings will enable them to understand that it isn't about falling down, it's about getting up, it's about going on. And just that, in some way, it will inspire people to the greatness that's in them, you know. So that's kind of how I look at it. I don't so much look at it as trying to right the wrongs that other people have spoken about me, because I'm not even sure what they've written. And I'm sure they've written a lot of stuff, but I don't even know. And I don't read reviews, so it's really hard to say. I don't know what they're saying. So that's my point of view.
Well, I'm really glad that you are putting together this book, and I want to talk a little bit about history, about your life, if you don't mind me going through this. I'm not going to dwell too much on it, but, you know, just certain things I didn't realize, of course, but, you know, certain things I did know about you. And just so you know, too, I have almost every album that you've ever recorded, and the reason why is because when I was younger, I used to, of course, spin, and throwing on a Donna Summers album always seemed to work. For two reasons. One, you could always get the floor crowded. And two, because the songs were so long, it gave you a chance to go and take a break.
That's funny.
But it was so cool, because each song would just blend into the next. And next, you're like, hey, I don't have to mix. It's already done for me.
No, that's great.
But, I want to go back to the beginning. And basically, your career, if you want to say, it really started in church, because that's where you first sang, correct?
Yeah, it sure is, yeah.
What was that like for you growing up and singing in church? I mean, did you ever have any inkling that, you know, maybe this is something that I really want to do for the rest of my life?
Well, I was always just singing. I think when you're a kid, you don't kind of have that general overview of your life. You're sort of going to moment, hoping you're going to survive your childhood. But, I mean, I did enjoy singing, and I did dream about singing, like I suppose most kids do, or a lot of kids do, and you know, I watched movies and you know, would try to act and pretend to be Katharine Hepburn or Betty Davis or somebody or Judy Garland. And so, I mean, I think we all grow up with kind of our heroes and we emulate them. And so for me, you know, singing was always part of my life. So I don't remember a time when there wasn't music.
Now, this is the part I'm not sure about. Did you actually start singing for the public? I'm not talking about in church, in a supermarket, or
kind
what?
Kind of. I started actually yodeling. Yodeling. When I was in grammar school, I think I was maybe in the first or second grade, I used to yodel. And I know it's really funny. And the kids, I yodeled for the kids in school, and then they would tell their parents. and their parents would pay me to yodel. And so I think my first paying gigs were yodeling, you know, on the way home from school. I'd stand in a spot, and then, you know, people would say, come on, yodel, yodel. And I would say, no, I don't yodel for free. And then they would give me a dime or a nickel, and then I would yodel for them and do it a couple of times, and then I'd walk away with the money. So, I mean, I think I was very entrepreneurial, even at an early age, and recognized that, you know, that I should be being paid for what I do. So I think that, you know, that says a lot.
That's hilarious. I never would have thought about that. I would never have known that. Oh, my God. I hope that's in the book.
I think it is.
I really hope that's in the book. Now, you mentioned about acting, and that's what you also did, too, because you were in, what, the stage show Godspell?
Well, I was in Hair originally.
Hair, too. Yep.
I was in Godspell. I was in a show called The Me Nobody Knows. I was in another show. I was in a, at the Vienna Folks Opera in Porgy and Bess and Showboat. Those two shows. And so, you know, I had been in theater, musical theater, for quite some time when I first started singing and making, you know, my own records. But I'd made records before. You know, so.
I guess what I'm leaning to, too, is because it was during the tours where I actually met your husband, or your husband then, who actually helped with the last name, Donna Summers, right?
Yeah, that's true. Well, I met Helmut. He was in Hair. And he was dating another girl at the time when I met him. But years later, we met again doing Godspell. And that's when, actually, he and I got together. So, you know.
And it worked for the beginning, but it worked for your career, too, because it helped open up.
Right.
The name was right, too. So when you finally decided, okay, it's time to really focus, really, really get the music going, of course, 1975 is when we first heard about you, and, of course, the song Love to Love You, Baby. What was that like from the transition from going from the acting and the traveling and all those shows to finally putting out a hit record?
Well, you know, I had been in Hair, and Hair had a hit record. I mean, the songs were hits, and we had to promote them. So I had a lot of experience, actually, preliminary experience in promotion and doing, you know, publicity for the show. And so I think I kind of got my road feet, so to speak, with my feet wet doing that. So I knew a little bit about what was to come. You know, it was very difficult making the transition for my own self, you know. It wasn't a part of another bigger project, and then all of a sudden it was sort of all on me. That, I think, was the hardest part, and just the people's reaction to me. I thought that was pretty bizarre. I was myself all along, and all of a sudden people were looking, my own friends were looking at me like, you know, like I, you know, like kind of strange, and I'm like, why are you looking at me? Why are you acting so weird? You know, why is everybody acting so strange to me? And they would say, well, nothing, no reason. And all of us, it was as though somebody had removed a veil from their eyes and they could see me for the first time or something, and they were just strange. It was just that was the weirdest part of fame. It wasn't outside people. It was when my own friends started acting strange.
Well, here's what was strange for us. A, the song, extremely sexy, and two, how long was the song? Like, what was it, 15, 16 minutes long?
How long? No, I think it was about 17 and a half minutes, almost 18 minutes, yeah.
Now, that's unusual to put out a song, like a single like that, but for that length of time, I guess that's where, I guess the times, that's where they were changing.
I think that the very thing that you were talking about stepping away from the microphone and having some time off, you know, I think for the DJs, it became, radio DJs, it became, hey, man, I'm putting this baby on. And I put it on at night, and I can go sit in the other room and have a cup of coffee and then come back and do my gig, and everybody's happy. So it was, you know, I think it was a welcome relief.
Definitely helped us out, that's for damn sure. But, you know, you started coming out with some fantastic albums. You were with Casablanca Records?
I was with Casablanca, huh?
And, you know, it just seemed like, you know, hit after hit after hit, and soon they dubbed you the Disco Queen. When you first heard about this, you being dubbed this title, did you like it? Did you enjoy it? Or was it something like, did you feel like maybe you weren't disco?
Well, Well, I think that, I don't think at the time I minded that much. I thought it was funny. You know, I just thought it was funny. But then everybody started calling me the queen, actually calling me the queen. And the people around me would say, my queen, all the time. I mean, to the point that they just did it as it would became the standard of what they said to me. And I think that was a little strange, and still is sometimes. But, you know, I don't mind being a queen. Would you?
It would bother me a little bit, I think.
Well,
it would.
Well, you know, a king, okay?
I see where you're getting at, and I can understand that, too. But you got to admit, though, you had a lot of great hits. And what would you say of all those songs is your favorite?
Well, my favorites are not the hits, but I think that of the hits, Last Dance would be definitely one of them. You know, I think it would probably be one of my most, you know, memorable ones. One, because it won the Oscar award, and there were a lot of fun moments tied into that particular song.
And you know, I have the movie, just so you know. And when I was a kid, I loved the movie. The reason why was because, not knocking the Bee Gees or anything, but because you had, and I got to say it the way I'm going to say it, because I was one of the very few black kids in school, you had all the white kids that were always jumping up and down about Saturday Night Fever. I, of course, was jumping it out about Thank God It's Friday.
Uh-huh.
I had to go the other way. So, and, you know, I thought the movie was hilarious. B, I loved the soundtrack. And C, not only did I love Last Dance, but the other 12-inch that was in the album, too, and I can't say it because I can't speak French. It is Jeju. What is it again? Oh, gosh. I cannot remember what the song is, too, now.
Whose song was it?
That was yours. Because the album that I have from the Thank God It's Friday, you've got one side of the sleeve. It's got all the hits, and then another one that's got a 12-inch of you, and it's, what the heck is that song again? Oh, it's... I cannot remember the name of the song. Yeah, you got it rolling.
I don't know what that is.
Gosh, I cannot remember.
I have so many songs. I think it probably was. Was that a fast song?
No, it was a slow, easygoing song. But I think the point I'm just trying to get at is that, as you said, if there was any song or any soundtrack or anything that really took you to the next level, it was definitely there. And I remember hearing other people who talked about you, and they said if there was anybody that was going to survive disco, it was going to be Donna Summers. Did you feel you were still getting respect from your other peers?
Oh, yeah. I think, you know, it was a really unusual position to have to be in and to be successful in, because I think that a lot of times, you know, when you are being successful, it's not something you can control. It's just something that happens. And sometimes people are jealous and say negative things because they're jealous, or sometimes they like it themselves. And they, you know, I had a lot of interesting experiences. Like, for example, what's his name? John Lennon, I think it was, bought I Feel Love. And when he bought it, he ran to the store, and he came home and he said, this is the wave of the future. This is it. I got the future. Here's the future, and it was I Feel Love. And then, you know, other people have stories that they tell me about different songs that they, when they first heard them, how, you know, nowadays, you wouldn't say that, but at the time, it was coming out of nowhere, and all this technology was coming out of nowhere, and so it was pretty innovative at the time, I think.
So you must have felt horrible then when that rumor came out about you saying that AIDS was God's revenge against
you. Yeah, well, obviously I didn't say that, so.
No, and I just want to, like, I don't want to dwell on it, but I just want to get your feelings on when.
Well, it's something I think I'd rather not talk about at this point, because it is a lie, and I don't even want to go there. And quite honestly, it's just, you know, the more I talk, the more people talk about it, the more it just perpetrates it. So I'd rather not discuss it.
Then let's drop it immediately.
You know, because I think when somebody tells a lie on you, you have no defense, especially if it's a lie that's told in the press. And, you know, I think that, you know, it's nothing that I can change at this point. It certainly is behind me, and it's a very unpleasant thing to have somebody do that. And so, you know, I mean, I think it's behind me, and it is behind me, and so I really don't like discussing it, because I think bringing it up just brings it back into the forefront.
And that's and I respect that. It's dropped. It's done. It's never even been mentioned, because we're going to jump right into everything else that you've ended up doing. During the 80s, you had a couple of hits, too, including the 90s. You also went back to gospel, too. A lot of changes for Donna Summers. What was it like going through all that from 80s, 90s, and, like I said, going back to gospel, too?
Well, I think I started off singing gospel music, and so it's not a stretch for me. I've started off in church, so it's just going back to what I love and know. And so, you know, that'll always be part of music I sing, I think. Not I think. It'll always be part of the music that I sing. You know, that may not be the song that people want to listen to as a hit, but it's there. Part of me.
Well, you know, you've done so much, and I know we're thrilled that you're going to be coming up here to Canada. Of course, you're going to be performing at Casinorama. What kind of show can we expect from Donna Summers?
Well,
because there is so much that she can do.
Well, I'm not on, like I said, I'm not out touring right now, so it'll probably be a scaled down show for up there right now. Because, I mean, it'll be a regular show, but it won't be a full blown show because I wouldn't be playing in Canada if it were. It would cost a whole lot more to bring that kind of a show up there. But it will be certainly all of the hits and I don't even know what was all a hit in Canada. I'm sure that there were different songs. Are you in Canada?
I'm in Canada, Toronto, Canada.
Oh, you're in Toronto. I love Toronto.
Really?
I love Toronto. My grandparents are Canadian.
I didn't realize that.
Yep, they're both from Nova Scotia.
Wow.
My grandmother and my grandfather are both from Nova Scotia. So, they're, you know, my mother's side, my mother's first-generation American.
Fantastic.
So, well, I have a little history with you, sweetie.
Well, no, you know, but I got to tell you something. For me, personally, my favorite album is the Season album. That's got Winter Melody and...
Yeah, Four Seasons of Love.
Four Seasons of Love. That is my favorite album.
Really?
Because it's so diverse, and B, there's so much feeling and so much passion in each song that you sing. You just sit there and you're just going, oh, yeah, here we go, here we go, here we go. And I remember as a kid, too, growing up, there were certain songs I would always make sure that I played before I went to school. One of those was that album. So you know that I had to go from track, a little bit here, a little bit here, a little bit here, a little bit here, a little bit here. Finally, I got smart and decided, you know what, let me just put this on cassette so I can just stop it and play it again when I want to come back, because I was literally dropping the needle back and forth.
That's funny.
But I love the album. And
Thank you.
And that's why, and please, if it sounds like I'm trying to brush it all up, I'm not. It's like I'm so thrilled to talk to you.
No,
I've loved your music from Yay High. I'm so happy that you're coming down here. I'm even happier that, you got the book out too. But, getting back to business, what's the one thing that you want fans to always know about Donna Summers? What would it be?
That I'm just like they are, that I'm no different. I'm not, I eat, sleep, go to bed, go to bathroom, I take a bath. I mean, not to have me on some strange pedestal that I can't live up to. You know, I think that, singing is what I do for a living. It's not who I am as a person. And I don't want them to be confused about the two. And I think too many celebrities have taken advantage of their position and have, they like to be worshipped, so they try to separate themselves from the very people who put them where they are, to the extent that, the people have almost no contact. And I don't think that's fair. And, I like to try to maintain some level of contact with people. And so I do very strange things for some people to maintain that sense of stability in my own life and not get too out there. I think when you stay in contact with real life, you stay real. And I'm trying to always be as real as I can be, and that's what I would like to impart to people. And those people who are struggling and trying to, exhibit their own talents, and they should just love what they do, and the success will come in time, and not to just do what they do for success, but to do what they do because they love it, and no matter what happens, if they become famous or they don't, they will always love what they do. And that's the joy in it, because being successful can rob you of the very thing you love so much, the joy of doing what you do. So, that would be what I have to say.
Well, it was definitely an enjoyment to talk to you. I've taken 20 minutes of your time, and I know I'm only supposed to take 10 minutes. I apologize for that.
Shame on you.
And to be honest with you, if I had the chance, I really... I catered this thing down. I would have loved to talk to you for another hour because there are so many questions and so many things I wanted to know. But all I can do is hope for the best that I can get another interview with you. And I'm actually crossing my fingers it could be one-on-one because I adore everything that you have done. And I am really looking forward in meeting you one of these days. And thank you so much for this interview.
Thank you. Well, have a good afternoon.
I definitely will. And looking forward to a great show on Thursday, too.
Okay, you too.
Take care.
Bye.